Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn in the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back once again with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you is how to utilize the information we provide today, take full accountability for the decisions you make, and our resulting outcomes. And one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special month in our workplace and world, the month of October, rapidly becoming known as Franciscan Month. And in the world of Francis, everyone is brother and sister. And as such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. Her name is Faye Benkosme. Faye spent her formative years living in St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands and in the Dominican Republic before attending high school in New York City. It was there that she first experienced others' fixation on her mixed heritage. Faye has had the great fortune to travel to nearly 50 countries across six continents, experiencing widely varying cultures, practices, and viewpoints, and learning that humans cannot be reduced to any one category. She's a former educator. Also, she's a great author. Her latest book is entitled, You Are Not Your Race: Embracing Our Shared Humanity in a Chaotic Age. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Faye.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Brother Gregory, for having me this morning.
Ah, the pleasure is all ours. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you're speaking from today.
So today I am in Houston, Texas, which has been my home since August of 2015 when I returned to the United States from a teaching assignment in Qatar.
Wow, that
Yes.
is amazing. I must tell you, being in Houston, you have made the listeners and this host very, very jealous. A beautiful place to be, certainly. Thanks for getting up extra early to be with us today. Faye, sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about you, your experiences. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool. This great book you've written, You Are Not Your Race. What prompted you to write this great book, please?
Oh my goodness, it's been a series of it was a series of events that, naturally started a long time ago because of just who I am. And writing a book about this issue had been on my heart for some time. But then it was coming back to the US again in 2015 at the college where I was teaching in a very diverse city where unfortunately you have two ethnic communities at each other's throats, really, fighting for political primacy. And I felt a lot of pressure to decide if I was going to succeed in that college system. I was going to have to decide, and my exit was not pretty, let's just say that. And I was very disappointed in my colleagues, and I came home and I licked my wounds for a little while. I ate way too much cheesecake
I know
while
that
sitting on
feeling.
the sofa. And then a friend suggested, why don't you just write a book?
Thanks be to God for that friend. No question about that.
Yes.
Now, we have gotten to a place, unfortunately, that's not so pretty as you've just alluded. How did we get to this place where a book like yours has become so necessary?
Oh my goodness gracious. Well, I think first of all, it is an absence of truth. I mean, what we are teaching young people in our schools about the origins of humanity. I mean, I get it. There are two different perspectives on that. But what we, no matter where you're coming from, what we can't deny is that we don't share a common humanity. That we don't come from a common source, and that skin color is not a subset of the human race. It just was not created separately. I'm sorry. And that's the first place, from where we got here. This misinformation, disinformation, lie, if we should call it that, that is being reproduced through our academic system. And then the media doesn't help either. And I get it, salacious headlines is what sells. And there is nothing like this idea of race, this false definition of race, to and given our history, to get people excited and twisted in knots and pulled in all of these different directions. And as we know, since the riots of 2020, it has gotten exponentially worse.
No question about that. Now, it's very interesting. I'd like for you to respond to this statement if you don't mind. Someone said to me not that long ago that if God had created humans in one color, in one race, if you will, everything would be so much better. Why do you think, and I know you're a very spiritual person, hey, thank God for that. Why did God create humans in such a variety of colors, please? I hate to ask that, but I must.
God knew exactly what he was doing. He foresaw this moment. He prophesied that this was going to happen. And he said, by hook or by crook, I'm going to keep teach those people down there how to love each other. That's what we're here for, ultimately. I'm going to teach them how to love each other. And how do I do that? I'm going to make them different on the surface.
Wow.
I'm going to make them different on the surface, and I'm going to make them work to understand that we are more than our skin color. We're more than the texture of our hair. We're more than the color of our eyes, the width of our nose. We're more than that. And they're going to dig past that by hook or by crook, and they're going to come to recognize that they were created in my image, not my image, but his image, my image. You know what I mean, Brother Gregory. They're going to realize that I am their creator, that they were created in my image, and that is how they're going to come to love one another again, which is why we were put here, I believe, to love
Wow,
one
that
another.
makes so much sense, certainly, because this is forcing us, if you will, to love one another even greater, despite any differences, external or outside differences we might have. Oh, that's
Yes.
really, really powerful and very empowering, no doubt about it. Now, I must say, you talk in your book about Directive 15. Before reading your book, I had never heard of Directive 15. Can you please explain for the listeners who maybe are not familiar with this as well, what is this all about, please, and why is this so important, Faye?
So don't feel bad. Don't feel like you're the only one. A lot of people are not familiar with Directive 15, but it is a measure for counting the population that was instituted under the Carter administration. And what happened was it was decided that we're going to create these boxes of races, and we're going to use these boxes to put people in. We're going to count them according to these, what do you call it, socially constructed races. So there's,
Wow.
yes. And it says right there in the directive, if anyone cares to look it up, it's very easy. All you have to do is Google Directive 15. It says very clearly that that none of these categories should be construed as being biological or anthropological in nature. And it goes farther, or yeah, it goes further to say that none of these socially constructed categories should be construed or used for the benefit of receiving certain benefits from the federal government. Yes, that is what it says very clearly in Directive 15. Now, the administration at the time, and this was under, I think it was the office of OMB, at that time, you know, maybe the intention was just to have an easy way to count people. I doubt it. None of these things are never just, you know, this is just a good way to do it right now. I do believe that, you know, there was this long-term goal, this long-term plan about how this would be applied throughout American society. So yes, and here we are, unfortunately.
Wow. Now, if my math is correct, the Carter administration was 78 or 76 through 81 there.
Yes.
So we're talking about only 40 years since then. So this was a mechanism by which to identify people. Am I understanding that, Faye?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Yes. So this was put in by the Carter administration.
Yes.
And as you have alluded, more for numbers counting or more for information gathering.
Yes.
I'd be very interested in going back 40 years later to see all of these unintended consequences.
Yes, lots of unintended consequences. I mean, you have people who are claiming identities for the purpose of benefiting, because it's understood that if you are this versus that, then, you know, you're entitled to this and not that.
Oh,
and
you wow. know,
and I'm not, and I'm not, I'm not implying that when you identify as an ethnic group that you may not appear to belong to, you know, on the basis of your skin color. I'm not implying that you're stealing from someone. I'm just saying that it just leads to this climate, this environment where, you know, it becomes more about me, what am I going to get for me? I'm going to do everything and mow all over people because me, I am important in all of this. And we forget about, you know, the us, the we, and living as brother and sister, as you say.
Yeah, this is so interesting because I have a very, very wonderful friend. His last name is Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked together in the late 70s, ironically. And he was Caucasian as myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting because of his name, there was a way that he could actually classify himself mm-hmm. as Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people who were really encouraging him to do that because the programs were starting there where some of the people who were of Spanish
yes,
descent would
yes.
get favored treatment. And he
yes.
said, to his credit, he said, no, I'm not going to buy into that, sir.
No,
like, this
absolutely
is very interesting
not.
How this is all tying together. The affirmative action was just starting back then.
Yes.
But he said, no, I'm not going to take advantage of this. That's unfair.
Yes.
Wow.
And, you know, one of the misconceptions is, if I may speak to this, you know, the Spanish speaking community, which some people identify as Latino, some identify as Hispanic. This is a very diverse group of people when it comes to skin color. It runs the full continuum. There are very dark skinned, quote unquote, Latinos and very, very fair skinned Latinos. And this is true in the MENA region, which is the acronym for Middle East, North Africa. I travel that entire region. I was stunned by, you know, the complexions and the hair textures and the eye colors of these quote unquote Arab people who we
wow.
think are just one way. It's a broad range of people.
That's amazing, right within the same group. That is awesome, certainly. Now, I'd love to hear your response to this question because people say race may not be a biological reality, but they say it's a social reality. What do you think of this, Faye?
It's so presumptuous of us to believe that because of the color of your skin in this day in 2023, after we've had the 14th Amendment, the 13th Amendment, the 15th Amendment, after we've had the Civil Rights Act, it is so presumptuous to think that that everybody is discriminated against because of the color of their skin. We know that's not true. And it's presumptuous to presume that because of this category that you've automatically put this person in, they are somehow lacking want for, this, that, or the other. This is unfair. It diminishes the dignity of that person. It diminishes the accomplishments of those people who may fit that category of skin tones, but went on to do incredible
Of
things.
course, of course.
It really diminishes their achievements, and it obscures those who need. They need that, say, and when I say those, I'm thinking, in education, and I'm thinking about those children in the public education system, for example, who are not attended to the extent that their other classmates are attended to because
Sure.
of the color of their skin. The presumption is they don't need the attention, whether it is true or not, whether it is steeped in a deep dislike for that person's skin tone, which is unfortunate.
Oh.
There are people who are being obscured, and lots of children are being obscured in this battle between the skin tones.
Well, I'm so glad we're having this conversation during Franciscan month. St. Francis was all about freedom. We need to free people, not put them in boxes, certainly, and treat them a certain way based on how they look. Now, you alluded to this before, but I want to peel the onion if it's okay with you. Some people are saying race relations are better because of the quote unquote summer of love of 2020 and the resulting efforts at reconciliation. How would you respond to that, please, Faye?
Well, I think it depends on how you define better. I don't know. I think that what I'm seeing is a lot of people feeling as though they can't be themselves when in quote unquote mixed company. And I think that that is unfair. I see people who are going along with things that they know in their heart of hearts is not right. It's not just. But they do anyway because they feel that they have to. Otherwise, they're going to be, called a name. And this doesn't have anything to do with, whether you identify as black or white or any one of those skin color groups. This applies to all people. That not everyone who is perceived to benefit from this, summer of love, this post summer of love. It's not everyone who buys into that, and they themselves feel that, this is not right. But if I don't go along, I'm going to be excommunicated from my community. There are those who are not part of the community that's perceived to benefit from this, and they feel that they can't say anything because then they'll be deemed, are we ready for this? Racist.
Ouch. Wow, this is very unfortunate. So, and I know in the workplace it could be a bit of a slippery slope. If someone wants to make a comment or whatever, I had a situation about 6 months ago where I made an observation to some students pertaining to our vice president, something that I thought she could have done a little better on, and I've always complimented her when I thought she's done things excellent. And one of the students responded, "Gee, Greg, I didn't know that you disliked women and people of color." And it was very sad to me because it had nothing to do. It could have been Mike Pence, who is a white male. I would have said the same thing. But the
Right.
fact that this was a woman of color, it had nothing to do with that. So I tried to share about the importance of separation of the person and the behavior. If I'm
Yeah.
critical of someone, it's not that I'm critical because of who they are, their gender, or their race. It was because of the position they were taking. You know, I could
Yes.
still love them as a Christian, as Catholics, we're called to love one another, as you said
Yes.
before so beautifully, certainly. So.
Absolutely. Yes. But I think you know that this is a tactic for a particular activist. If you disagree with whatever, what's the best, fastest, quickest way to shut down any debate, any discussion is to, hurl that term racist, which I think is just so ill-defined and so ill applied. But that's another that's another story.
Sure.
Yes, it's
I never thought of that, but that is a way to shut down the conversation, which
it
is
is it's a way to
we
shut
just
down the
get into this.
conversation.
We need to
And
have a lot more.
unfortunately, a lot of our young people, again, irrespective of your skin color, that is they invoke that term, and they invoke it as, as this young lady used it in your conversation, without realizing what they're doing. It has just been so ingrained in them that that is a almost natural reaction.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
something. On the bright side, Faye, do you think a civil, colorblind society is at all possible?
I do. And I don't know that it's going to happen tomorrow or next month or next year or in the next 5 years. But I do believe that this particular generation that's going to come up, maybe not this one, but maybe the next one, maybe they will be the ones to carry the torch forward and just put an end to this. And in fact, I really thought that we had already kind of gotten there. We had gotten to a point where young people, that was not the first thing that they noticed about each other. But then 2020 came along to remind everyone, this is who you are, this is who I say you are, and don't you ever forget it.
Yeah, it's fascinating because I have many people I know who are in their 40s and 50s, and they have children of high school age or college age. And they've commented to me how refreshing it is that their children have friends of all different shapes, colors, et cetera, races, religions. They date others who are not the same. And it's so wonderful. And as you say, then 2020 came along and kind of put a kibosh on a lot of this, certainly.
Yeah, I love that. Put a kibosh on it. It's I don't know. Was somebody afraid that control was going to the wayside? We've got to, pull this trick out of the hat, and I don't know.
How do you maybe, Faye, this is an unfair question. I got to ask it anyhow. How do you see us getting out of this bind? And I don't use that word lightly, but this bind we've really created for ourselves.
And there are a lot of people who agree with me on this. I've seen this on social media. None of this goes away until we get rid of all of those boxes on every government form that we fill out. None of it goes
Wow.
away.
Boy, that sounds radical. Could you see the workplace getting rid of those boxes as well? Because if I perceive correctly, a lot of employers now on applications, maybe depending on the state that you're in, are asking that question.
Oh, well, yeah. Everybody's asking that question, right? Yeah, until we start getting rid of those boxes, then, none of this goes away. A qu quick tidbit about the US Census. A lot of people who are of the same mind as I am, they think that they get around the issue by checking other as opposed to one of the specific categories.
Okay.
Red alert. And don't take it from me. You can take this from Mike Gonzalez at the Heritage Foundation if you want to look him up. What the Census Bureau does is if you check other, then they will look at your last name and try to divine what category you belong to and then assign you to that category.
Wow.
Yes.
I would have no idea that would be happening. Oh, that's something, no doubt about that.
And you know, as long as we have these again, these groups that are being constituted, the powers that be, they can, you know, manipulate these groups against one another. They need to go.
Yeah,
They need to
we
go.
really need to come together.
As Americans, as Americans.
Exactly, not be separate. Faye, we could talk all day. Sadly, time's getting short. We've only got about 4 minutes, but we've got a couple of important questions to ask you. You've accomplished so much in your incredible life. You could
Oh.
just sit on your laurels. I know you're way too young and have way too much energy to do that. What's next for Faye? Where and what do you hope to achieve next with this topic and issue that you've just dealt so wonderfully with?
Well, of course, it's all up to God. It's not up to me. But if you're listening, you're listening, what I see myself doing next is just continuing the work of getting this word out, educating people. I'd like to see curriculum that addresses, as I was saying at the beginning of our talk, curriculum that addresses, you know, where we came from, that we are not these discrete races as education now leads people to believe. I would like to work on that. And it doesn't necessarily have to come from a, I know a lot of people are afraid of religion in schools and especially in public schools. Okay, I get it, but this is not a religious issue. It is truth. It's truth. So
Absolutely.
that's what I would like to work on next. And of course, I want to abolish the box. I do.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I should have asked this before because you're a former educator. Were you
Yes.
in the school system in Houston or somewhere? And I'd be curious what ages were you dealing with, Faye?
So I've taught all levels. I started my teaching career in the Dominican Republic at a middle school there, and I taught language arts, and then I moved up to the high school level. While there, I established the institution's first writing lab because the students weren't getting enough, you know, writing as far as I was concerned. And then I
Wow.
led my colleagues in cross planning. We would teach language arts and history together. And then I just, you know, showed my colleagues how we can do writing in all of our subjects. But then I went on to do a master's at George Mason
Oh.
University. Yes, and after teaching at George Mason and getting a master's in English, I then started teaching at the college level and, you know, going overseas and then coming back here to Houston.
Oh, we're so blessed to have you, Faye. I've saved the most important question for last. From where can our loyal listeners purchase You Are Not Your Race? How can they best follow you?
Okay, so you can follow me on Facebook. The page is You Are Not Your Race. I'd love to point listeners to Twitter, but for some reason, Twitter decided they were going to shut down my page. I don't know if
No,
was,
you've been canceled on
I
Twitter?
don't know
Oh,
if it was
no,
something that I
terrible.
said.
Oh, gosh.
They shut me down. I think it was something that I said. But otherwise, my website is my name, FEBENCOSME.com. And the book is available on Amazon. You Are Not Your Race, Embracing Our Shared Humanity in a Chaotic Age.
Listeners, no excuse. Faye is available most places. Sadly, Twitter or X has canceled her, but indeed she's other places, so find her there. Let me give you the name again. Faye, F-E, her last name, Bencosme. And please, we got a great Franciscan with us today. She could have held on to all this good. No, what did she do? She came on Thank God for Monday. She wrote this great book. She shared the good. Now it's your turn. Get out there, buy a copy for yourself, buy one or more for others. We need people in our world and in our workplaces to read this book and to put it into practice. Our workplaces and our world will be much better if indeed we do. So please take full advantage of that. Faye, we can't thank you enough for coming on. Thank God for Monday today. Yes, we've been enlightened. We've been very inspired. We now know the importance of looking at others as brother and sister and not judging them based on a box, certainly checking off a choice on a box, certainly. Thank you. Continued success, joy, and happiness, fulfillment in your future endeavors and all this fabulous work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that you wake up on Monday morning, just like Faye does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next
Amen.
time, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.